When I understand the grace of God to me to declare me righteous, I leave the front door of my house with a whole new desire to live in a manner that's pleasing to God and to realize that it was sin that put Jesus on the cross. I walk out the front door, I don't want to sin. Does that mean I'm going to? Probably.
This is The Journey, the radio ministry of Bethel Church in Northwest Indiana, featuring the teaching of Steve DeWitt. If you're a believer in Christ, then you're justified. But are you sanctified? Today in The Journey, a look at our daily spiritual growth. This is part two of the message, Justification, Declared Righteous, and so much more. If you missed the first part, you can find it on our website, thejourney.fm, or subscribe to our podcast, The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. Then you can receive The Journey daily on your own device. Now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve.
So C.S. Lewis wrote Chronicles of Narnia, probably his most famous writings. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is the most famous of those books. And in that book, there is the story of four children who make their way into this alternate world called Narnia. Well, one of them, Edmund, betrays the other three. And the White Witch of that land lays claim to Edmund's life and says, he is a traitor, and I own him, and he must die for what he has done. Well, also in the story is the great lion Aslan, right? And Aslan says, I will die in the place of the boy Edmund. Well, the White Witch is totally ecstatic about this because she doesn't really care about Edmund, but the opportunity to kill Aslan, her great enemy for all of time, was too wonderful for her to believe. And so she takes the deal. Aslan voluntarily goes to the stone table, and on the stone table, they shave him. The White Witch plunges the knife into Aslan. Aslan dies. Well, after they do that, her and her hordes go to make war with Narnia. But the two sisters, Lucy and Susan, make their way up to the table, and they see the great lion that they loved dead there on the table. They're crying. They're sorrowful. They turn away to walk away, and all of a sudden, there's an earthquake, and the stone table cracks, and they look back at the stone table, and Aslan's gone. And they rush to see what's going on. What could have happened? Where is he? What's going on here? And all of a sudden, into the picture comes Aslan, and he is now alive. And that's another testosterone moment right there. As the great lion, you can tell what kind of movies I like. The great lion shows up back on the scene, and they're like, what has happened? And this is what Aslan says about his own resurrection. It means that though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic deeper still which she did not know. Her knowledge goes only back to the dawn of time, but if she could have looked a little further back in the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read there a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. How did Susan and Lucy know that Aslan's death paid the penalty for Edmund's treachery? Well, the clearest way they could know was that Aslan was alive, right? And that's what resurrection does. It is supernatural. It is a statement that only God can make. And it is intended to reassure us that we are righteous in the eyes of God and that Jesus is forever righteous. Raised for our justification. Isn't that wonderful? Amen? Third service? Amen. Now, let's continue to explore this. It would be a mistake for us to think that justification is the sum of salvation. And while it is wonderful, it is not the only thing that God is doing, and we should be glad that it is not the only thing that God is doing, because we actually want God to do a lot more than justify us. Now, an analogy for this, and it's not a perfect analogy, many of you probably heard about what happened in Dallas and the Ebola virus, right? And this guy that flew from West Africa to Dallas, he goes to the hospital in Dallas. The hospital looks at him and they say, we think you're fine. They sign a release form for him. He goes back to his apartment and those symptoms all begin to just well up in him. This analogy is not perfect, but when that guy went to the hospital, what did he need? You could say he needed somebody to say that he had a clean bill of health. And you know what? It's great when you go to the hospital and they tell you that you have a clean bill of health. But what he actually needed was he needed that virus to be dealt with, didn't he? And them telling him that he was healthy didn't actually fix the virus problem. And spiritually speaking, it is great that God declares that we are healthy. It's great that God says that we are righteous. But here we are still suffering from what? All of the painful symptoms of our sin. All of us, we have a virus of sorts. And by the way, the mortality rate is 100% with what we got. God, can you do something about that? God, can you do something about my the painful experience that I have dealing with all of these sins? Can you do something about my porn problem? Can you do something about my mouth? Can you do something about my mind? Can you do something about my thieving? Can you do something about my damaging words, my tongue? God, are you just going to declare me righteous and I go on living in the pain of being a sinner? Or do you want to take care of that too? And wonderfully, we find that God's plan is not simply to declare us righteous, but to make us righteous, to deal with our heart problem. And this is known as new birth or regeneration. Let's go back to Romans 8:29. I read it earlier. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. What does that mean? It means that in eternity past, when God purposed all of this stuff in salvation, that part of what he was doing is he purposed to make us into the likeness of Jesus, to make us Jesus juniors, to conform who we are to the very likeness of Christ, which is not physical, but is internal. It is your heart. It is your motives. It is your priorities. It is your loves. It is the intents of your life, your missions, and all of that. God wants to change everything that we are. And he does it through the miracle of regeneration. But we rightly ask the question, how does he do that? Okay, does he quarantine us? Does he give us antibiotics of some kind, spiritual antibiotics? How does God not just declare us righteous, but actually deal with the heart issue? This is how Jesus says that he does it. John 3, talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him in the night. He's all confused about spiritual realities. Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Born again. Nicodemus is confused, if you remember in the story, and he goes like, what are you talking about born again? Do I have to go back like into my mom and come out again? Which is one of the like most bizarre comments in the whole Bible, right? And Jesus is like, you're a teacher of Israel, and that's as good as you can come up with what it means to be born again? This is what Paul writes in Titus chapter 3. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. What Jesus calls born again, Paul calls regeneration, also called new birth. What is it? Regeneration is a work of God that he does within the heart of the sinner, where he actually hits the restart, reboot button. He doesn't just come in and do some remodeling. This is an entire demolition and restoration project in the human heart, whereby God births a new nature in the Christian, a new mind, a new heart. Old Testament prophecy, he takes out the heart of stone and he puts in a heart of flesh. He creates within us spiritually a whole new life, a whole new power, a whole new reign. Sin, up to the point of faith, ruled and reigned exclusively. But now there is a whole new power that has dethroned sin in the human heart. It is new birth. And I'm tying this in with the second thing, which is sanctification. And we see that in this verse, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So the first step is God makes us new inside. The next step is here, sanctification, renewal by the Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:11. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Who is the one that is doing these things? God is doing this in us. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Love this verse. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Romans 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him. This is the Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I didn't quote that right. I messed this up in the last service too. And I didn't look it up between services. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. See those old Awana verses, they come back at just the right time. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave his life for me. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. My dear friend, I don't have to know you personally to know that if you are a believer in Jesus, God's will for you is to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, for you to be sanctified. And all sanctified means is holified, okay? To be set apart, to be made righteous in the practical course of living my life. It is the transformation of me, boots on the ground, where the rubber meets the road, in the, you know, on the on street level. You got all these little phrases like that. It's life. That God is changing me in the day-to-day of who I am and is setting me free from the bondages of sin. And what an encouragement that ought to be for us, right? You might be here and you've, even as a Christian, we have these things we drag into our life, habits from the past, sins of obsession from the past. And when I become a Christian, to realize that I am not simply just being declared righteous and you suffer along in your little Ebola stuff, but that God wants to set us free from everything that sin has corrupted within us and to make us actually new people, totally different people than we were prior to our faith in Christ. Is that encouraging to you? It's encouraging to me. What does that look like? It looks like obedience. It looks like the priorities of Jesus increasingly becoming my priorities. It looks like the values and the loves that Jesus had increasingly are being the loves and passions and of my own life. I am becoming an entirely different person than I was. And as a Christian, I want that. As a non-Christian, if you're an unbeliever right now, you're going, let's get out of here now. I like who I am. When a sinner realizes that he's a sinner, he doesn't like who he is. He longs for righteousness, and God provides it. He is changing us. I like how J.C. Ryle says it. When people talk of regarding sanctification, you know, some people think, I just got to go to the right conference, or if I have this experience, and all of a sudden I'm going to be this great, godly, wonderful person. No, you're not. And Ryle says that here. When people talk of having received such a blessing and of having found the higher life after hearing some earnest advocate of holiness by faith and self-consecration, while their families and friends see no improvement and no increased sanctity in their daily tempers and behavior, immense harm is done to the cause of Christ. True holiness, we surely ought to remember, does not consist merely of inward sensations and impressions. It is much more than tears and sighs and bodily excitement and a quickened pulse and a passionate feeling of attachment to our favorite preachers and our own religious party and a readiness to quarrel with everyone who does not agree with us. It is something of the image of Christ which can be seen and observed by others in our private life and habits and character and doings. If you want to know if you're sanctified, talk to somebody who knows you, lives with you, sees you. Is there daily righteousness? This is what God is purposing to do. I like this from Wayne Grudem. What is sanctification? How does God go about working this change? You'll see here, the bottom level here, this is life before Christ. This is me as I naturally am. I am born a sinner, and as a sinner, as a non-Christian, I have my ups and downs. I help old ladies across the street. I take cookies to the neighbor. I do a nice thing here, but I also do some other things. But it doesn't matter, because even the good things that I do merit no favor with God. I still go to hell. What do I need? I need to trust in Christ. I need to believe. And that is what that conversion is. And all of a sudden, when I do that, I step into a whole new realm, a realm where I am declared righteous by God, and I increasingly grow in this righteousness in the day-to-day of life. And yes, notice that there are some ups and downs. I have days where I look like Jesus. I have days where I look like Satan. But I am like a good stock up and to the right. I am generally, increasingly, overall, becoming somebody that I was not before. I am becoming sanctified, righteous in the day-to-day of life. Do I ever achieve perfection in this life? No, I do not. But when I die, the Bible says that we shed this body of sin, and we are given a whole new body, now with no sin nature, and we live in perfect holiness and righteousness forever. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Okay. Now, I want you to look at this and to ask yourself, where am I on it? Put the dot on where you are. Now, if you say, I think I'm actually in the basement, what should I do? Believe in Jesus and be saved. Turn from your sins, trust in what Christ has done on the cross, and receive a declaration of righteousness known as justification from God and the gift of eternal life. That's what you need to do. Now, if you're a Christian already here and you look and you say, you know what, I'm kind of, this week I would say I'm on an up. Maybe the person next to you says, I'm kind of on a down. And we can kind of wonder, you know, am I saved? Am I not? I don't know. By the ebbs and flows of our spiritual life. But the big question is, am I changing? And it might be feeble, it might be small, but am I changing and do I desire that? I think I'm kind of in this middle section. Now, some of you say, I think I'm in the upper section. Totally perfect. Are you dead? And if so, who wheeled you in here today and propped you up to make you look like you're alive? Because until death, there ain't any of us that's perfect. Where am I? And to see what God is doing in my life, what an encouragement that is. And to realize that God is doing something. And to see in those ups and downs, explanation for trials and troubles and discipline and things that God brings into our life to make us holy. You say, the only thing that makes me holy is when wonderful things happen to me. Actually, it tends to be the troubles and the discouragements through which God purges our hearts of the things that sin would want. And if you're in a time of pain right now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means that He is committed to forming in you the blessed likeness of His Son. Embrace it. Embrace it. Grudem goes on comparing and contrasting justification and sanctification. Justification is my legal standing before God. Sanctification is my internal condition. Justification is a moment in time. It is instantaneous. I was not righteous. God declares me righteous by faith. Sanctification is progressive. It's continuous. It's ongoing for the rest of my life. Justification is entirely God's work. Sanctification is something that we cooperate with God. God doesn't read the Bible for you. God doesn't pray for you. God doesn't sacrifice. Well, He does sacrifice for you, but He doesn't do that for you. This is things that we do. And as we serve the Lord, and as we obey, and as we use the means of grace, God grows us into the likeness of Christ. In justification, we are perfect. If you're a Christian right now, in the eyes of God, He goes, totally perfect. We are perfect in this life, declared so. Sanctification is about the ongoing process of becoming less imperfect in this life. So what is the organic connection between these two? Justification, sanctification. I had a staff member this week who said, sanctification has to feed off of justification. I think that's true. Sanctification eats justification for breakfast. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean that when I wake up in the morning and I think about God's grace to me, when I think about Jesus' sacrifice for me, when I realize that there was nothing in me that endeared me to God and God go, he's so cute, he's so wonderful, I think I'll save him. When I understand the grace of God to me to declare me righteous, I leave the front door of my house with a whole new desire to live in a manner that's pleasing to God and to realize that it was sin that put Jesus on the cross. I walk out the front door, I don't want to sin. Does that mean I'm going to? Probably. But my heart's desire is not to do that. So don't eat Cheerios and don't eat Wheaties. Eat justification for breakfast. Somebody tweet that right now. All right, one final illustration here. I read a great one, and it fits into my life right now. We have a 16-month-old daughter, which is totally fantastic because it's like having a pet parrot. Whatever we do, whatever we say, she will parrot it back to us, okay? Which is totally adorable, of course. So we'll, for example, we'll point to a cow in a book. And for a long time, we've been going, moo, moo. Well, she sort of picked up on it. So we point to a cow, and we say, what does a cow say? And she goes, moo. We point to a horse. What does a horse say? She goes, nay, nay. We point to a dog. What's a dog say? You see how this goes. It's like having a pet parrot in the house. It's fantastic. Now, does she do this because she actually understands the organic connection between an animal, cow, and the sound moo? No, not yet. She sees that every time she says moo, when we point to a cow, we go, yay, like this. And she picks up that from us. And she will a thousand other things, which is why, one reason, children resemble their parents so much. The little idiosyncrasies, the little turns of a phrase, the little ways of doing things, not perfectly and all, but there's a lot of resemblance there. Is that only because of nurture? And we say to that, no. Because our daughter has within her our very nature, doesn't she? We birthed her. She has a little bit of us actually in her. And we need to understand how God makes us resemble Christ by giving to us a little bit of his actual nature, the Spirit of Christ within us. And one writer says it this way, in like manner, we may carefully copy the traits of Christ's character, looking at him outside of us, as a painter looks at his mode. We may do better still. We may, by prayer and the reading of the word, live daily in his company and receive the impress of his influence. But if our imitation of him is to be the deepest and most thorough, something more is necessary. He must be in us, having communicated his own nature to us in the new birth. That's what God has done. Justification declares us righteous. Regeneration births a new nature in us. Sanctification lives that nature out, increasingly like Jesus himself, our blessed and resurrected Savior. Put aside the ranger and become who you were born again to be.
So how's your daily growth? Are you sanctified? Thank you, Steve, for this look at how we're to be all that we can be. This is The Journey with Steve DeWitt. In addition to the broadcast, we also have teaching material available on our website, thejourney.fm. Just click on the teaching tab. There you can find the message notes for each day, along with additional resources that relate to our current study. Check it out at thejourney.fm. And while you're there, would you drop us an email? We'd love to hear from you and how the Lord's working in your life. Once again, our website is thejourney.fm. I'm Tim Svoboda. For our producers, Pete Campbell, Amy Rios, and John Van Thaden, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on The Journey.